Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Samach Ches, as we continue in the 10th parak of Maseches Nedarim and the issues of Hafaras Habal and Hafaras Ha'av. So we started last time this parak, the 10th parak, and we discussed the mitzvah, according to the Chinuch and the Rambam, a mitzvah of Hafaras Nedarim, not that a father or a husband must be made for the Neder, but it's incumbent upon Bezdin and the people involved to act according to the rules of Nedarim and the rules of Hafaras Nedarim. So we are now up to the top of Samachesim and Aleph, Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana. So what are we answering? The Gemara yesterday had the question of, what is the source in the Torah that you know that the father and the husband together, Beshutfis, that was the language yesterday, the last line, Shutfusei Da'av. What is the source for that in the Torah? Because if you look at the beginning of Parshas Matos, there are three sections, but none have that case before us. The first case is clearly about a single girl who the father has power over to be made for her nedarim. The third category seems pretty clear to be talking about a nesua, because it says in beis isha nadara, and then the middle case also is talking about a married woman, and also talks about the husband. So where does it say in the Torah that the husband and the father could both together be made for the nadarim? That was the Gemara's question yesterday, and the first answer that we had was that it's the middle section. The middle section, Vim Hayosi Hiela Ish, either because that's the one it has to be, because the other one is talking about Nesua, or the language of Vim Hayosiya is Kiddushin Mashma, as the Gemara said. And then the Gemara said, maybe it means this, maybe it means that, maybe the Av is more powerful, maybe the Baal is more powerful, and the other one only has Hafara power. We'll have to get back to that a little bit today as well, in terms of the relationship between the two. But when we talk about the husband, And his power over the wife, and that the husband and the Baal have to be made for babas achas, as we said yesterday on Amar Aleph, that you can't have any halachic impediment in between. If there was a hakama and then there was a hafara, we don't say it was bas achas. Just related to that, I saw the Chashuki Chemed has a discussion about the following issue. She'ela arusa shebe mishpachas beisavia lo ochlet shriya bepesach. There was an arusa in her father's house. She did not eat what we call gebrach. She did not eat shruya. Uben mishpachas aris ochlim. But in her husband's house, in the aris's house, they eat. Kishet is arsa nadra, she shruya asura lava pesach. And when she was mitareses, so she made a neder that shruya is asur for a pesach. Maybe she felt very strongly. She didn't want to be overcome by her husband's minhagim, but she wanted to be strong in her own minhagim, so she says, I'm never eating shruya. She makes a nether that she's never eating shruya, as she's done her whole life. But the problem, because she's getting married to an aris who does eat shruya, Shama ha'aris, the aris hears about it and is made for the nether. The father, her father hears about it. This is somewhat of a circus. Shama avia, her father hears about it and goes asks the Rav what to do. The father, meaning because she needs the father to be made for the neder too, for it to work. So the father goes and asks the Rav what to do, and he says, Al Tafrila. I don't know who the Rav is. Al Tafrila, don't be made for it. Don't be made for it. That means it's going to kick in. The Aris hears about it and goes to the Gadol Hador, not the Rav, and tells him his story. And the Gadol Hador calls the father and tells the father, you need to be made for it. This one set of minhagim for the family. And this has basis also in the halacha, maybe even more basis than halacha. And v'gam yo'atzlo, she fanel rabo, yifnel rabo, and he says, go tell your rabbi in my name that you have to be made for the neder. That's the story. Ha'ava chazal l'rabo, so the father goes back, and the Rav says, I don't care what he says. Whoa. Ein achrei gadol dor v'lo klum. His figa'av lahafer gamhu as a neder both yom. So the father was in a quandary. And what did he do? Just to be safe, he was made for the neder. They made for the neder. So what's the shaila? We'll get back to the general shaila, but specifically is the hafara chal. What's the issue? We had yesterday that if there's a hakama in between, so then it's not going to work. But here there wasn't a literal hakama. It was a thought of being making because the Rav said so, but then the Gadol Hador said no. So do we say this is enough to ruin it? L'chora gam ben yoneinu, you would say, l'chora ha'av lo yechol l'hafer, b'glal kavod rabo. In the middle he asked his Rav, and the Rav said not to do it. So at that point he had decided not to. That's considered a hindrance. V'yim kein hifsig davar shu ma'akiv es ha'afar v'en yechol l'hafer. So he can't be made for. Maybe the hafara does not work, and this causes problems now because of the grux and the nakabrux. I told this over to my brother-in-law, he says, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he says, no. He says, since the Gadol HaDor said that the Rav is wrong, and that she has to listen to her husband to be knowing like him, Memela Nizbarer, Shahaya Bazet Ta'us Meikara, V'chashiv Shahaya Roy Lahafer. He made a mistake, the Rav made a mistake, and therefore the Baal made a mistake. There's no leg to stand on, Rav Chaim Kanievsky would say, to tell the father not to be Mefer. It's wrong halachically. It's not like this about chlokas, I hold like one. It's wrong. And because it's wrong, so a memela disappears. It's like a ta'a bidvar mishnah, one might say. And therefore, one doesn't have to worry about it. And then he discusses a little bit, we're not going to get into, the Ran and the Rashba that we discussed yesterday. Why is there a difference between, if you get rid of the Nidarim, Mimafreya, the Kiddushin is Chal, while if you get rid of here the Hakama, then the, it is not Chal, it's called something in between. And we discussed yesterday the difference between Kiddushin and the Hakama, and the Pshat of Reb Shimon Shkup of the Ran. But that is the Chashuke Chemed here. The larger related issue I wanted to touch on from this Chashuke Chemed is the basis for why the Gadol HaDor said no way. Because the husband and the wife have obligations to each other, and it has to be one set of Minhagim. And generally those Minhagim follow the husband. That's why. Why? Because halachically, she is Nechneses L'Rishuso. That's how marriage works. She is Nechneses L'Rishuso. So she goes into his Rishus. That's one of the deus of what Chuppah is. Right, we mentioned that the Ran on the first daf in Meseches Ksubis, Aleph and Aleph in the Daf Yarif, the Ran discusses what is Chuppah. Kedusha, we know what it is, Kesef Shtar and Bia. But what is Chuppah? That is very not clear in the Gemara. There are six or seven deos in the Rishonim, what one has to do for Nisuin, and we try to do all of them just to be safe. We have a canopy, and the husband goes down first to establish it as his symbolic house, Kesel Rishuso. We have a Yichud room, that's the Rambam's Chuppah. We have Badekin, according to some, that's Chuppah. We have Makam Yuchad, where they're going to eat together in the dining room. That's Chuppah. All different deos. What exactly is Chuppah? So we try to do all of them, but they all are about reflecting Kesel Rishuso, about her going into his Rishus. That is the halachic definition of marriage, of nisuin. So the minhagim generally go by the husband because she is nechneses lirishuso. Related to that, there are other tshuvas, Rav Moshe. I'll just quote three tshuvas of Rav Moshe relating to these husband-wife issues and relationships. First in Chelek Aleph of Arachayim, Simin Kufnun Ches. Rav Moshe discusses there, Be'ish ve'ish, the general issue. A man and a woman, Shehem in Medinos Chalukos, Ech Yinhagu b'minhagim ha'chalukim. What should they do? A man and a woman, a husband and wife, come from places with different minhagim. So what should they do? So Rav Moshe writes, Hinei, Ish ve'ish, Shehem in Medinos Chalukos, Asher kol Medino, Yesh la minhagim chalukim, Neged Medino ha'acheres, Lahach mir'u lahakel. There's not one that's more machmir in general, one that's more makel, but some are machmir, some are makel. V'nisu zelazu in New York. And they got married in New York, where there are no minhagim. Shem minhagim adayim chalukim. Midin shnei batei dinim bi'ir achas. Eich yisnagu im yishar kol echad b'minhag b'medinaso. Should they each keep their own minhag? O sheyu shneim shavim lahachmir k'chumra shneim adinos. Or go l'chumra in all the minhagim. O ha'isha tzricha l'slai k'minhag ha'bal. O ha'bal k'minhag ha'isha. Rav Moshe quotes all four options. Do you say they each are separate, or do you say just pick up all the chumras? You're not going to pick up all the kulas. That's a rasha. Pick up all the chumras, even though the Gemara says that's foolish in terms of din. Or the woman follows the man, or the man follows the woman. Says Rav Moshe, Hanochal and Yizdaiti deha isha tzricha lehisnahi kemina gabal bein lechumra bein lekula. The woman follows the husband's minhagim. Deha din, right? You can't say, oh, the woman waited 3 hours, the husband waited 6 hours, so I'm going to start her minhag. No, I can't do that. No, you have to follow, you have to be consistent. And generally it goes by the husband. If the husband waits, 3 hours and the wife waits 6 hours, then that's fine. Because you go by the husband's minhag. So hadin minhag baholech mimakom lamakom, k'she'in taito lach salubkom maharishon, noe k'minhag amakom shabalasham. You go by the minhag amakom where you came, and where did this woman come? The woman came into the rishos of her husband. V'hinei b'isha l'achar nisuea nasheves b'chol makom nechnasol rishos habal, mishum shemekoma lihios eitzel habal mida oraisa. Shezeu ikir hanisuin shenipser labal liyos pebeiso. He quotes the Gemara Exubis on Daf Memches. That is the Ran's main raya. I mentioned the Ran on Daf Aleph Exubis. One of the Ran's main raya is the Gemara on Daf Memches Exubis. That's Mesira l'rishus habal v'hu mitam de dinesua hu shetiyeh bebeis habal v'hu deraisa. And that's why there's the Gemara Kiddushin says that if there's a conflict between kibud of the aim and kavod baal wins in certain cases. Sha'isha ain't sipek biyadol lakai mitzvahs kibud of the aim b'neisha rishus acherim aleh, and she's b'shubedes. So therefore, it says Reb Moshe b'hanisuin ain't lecha holechas mimakom lemakom gadol mizeh. There's no greater holechas mimakom lemakom v'ad daita shlo lachzer behechrich. Not only is she chosen to have daita lachzer, she can't be chozer as bo by herself. And if in just machshava, if somebody thinks they're not going back, they take upon themselves the minhag of the new place. Kol shekein beisha shenisays shehu b'maisa she'ein biyad alachzer she'ish lalios bedini amakom shalchol hasham. V'lachein says Reb Moshe im yish chiluki minhagim min beis ha'iviya lebeis baila yish lalino kaminig beis baila bein lekula bein lechumra. That is the shita of Reb Moshe. And based on that's Aleph Kuf Nun Chesed Arachayim. Based on this, there are two other tshuvas where he uses this principle in terms of the relationship between the husband and the wife. Again, we got all into this through the Chashuk Yechemet. First is in Evan Ezer. Evan Ezer Chelek Beis Simin Yud Beis, where he discusses the woman comes from a family. They wear shetels, they wear peyanachris, and the husband is not interested. The husband says, no, it's not it's not my minhag, so what do you do there? So this is an exception to the rule, says Reb Moshe. Even though usually you go by the minhagim of the husband, but here, says Reb Moshe, be'inyin pe'anachris, shenish alti me'rayatcha harabanit, hakfoda tichyeh. Reb Moshe says to this Rav, your wife asked me, asher kvod terasa rotsa leida daiti bazeh, hanachal ani es daiti. Even though there are some minority opinions that talk about not wearing a sheitel, mikol makom, rov raboseinu, v'gam me'elu shesomchin ikari ha'ora le'amatirin. The main poskim that we have over the centuries, matirit, v'emar ramasham, the Ramah, and the Magen Avraham, and the Prima Gadim. It's based on the Shulchan Gibarim earlier. V'gam mash v'gam meha grash is overcame. Shlo asu b'zebi shemar esayin. U'kimach emuchrach meha gemara. And he quotes the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, which seems pretty clearly assuming that this is what they did. Shem Airi, the Yotzev v'anachris, dafka b'mechusel o'ayashayach lomar, thus Iris akena liyalda nechash l'machu alei. But Tapashi talks about the context of the chash of removing something which is a rabbim, are you allowed to wear it out? So it talks about wearing a younger girl, wearing an older lady's head covering, or vice versa. That's the issue. Vatapashut, Shekiva Shalom Matsinu, why aren't you worried about Maris Ayah? Not everybody would realize that it's a Sheitel. Shekiva Shalom Matsinu Begabara, Sha'asru, Ein Lamelef, Bibakom Asachirim, Sha'asru, Shamaris Ayin. The general rule in the Gemara and Chazal is, if Chazal didn't say it's Maris Ayin, so we don't say it's Maris Ayin. The Ein Lamelef Chad Me'idach, you don't learn one from the other. Volachain, Nomar Isser Maris Ayin, Beyichud, Bechol Darvish Asru, only by what they asserd. Uve Peyanach Riz Vandai, Ha Ein Lamelef. First of all, what do you choshate her about? There's no los ase involved. It's about being tsanua. Ve'en lamelev v'asha asur b'shabes v'od yisurei lavin v'od, and also mishub shabarov ha'pa'amim nikar shasayres hemi pi'anachris. And anyway, most of the time it is clear anyway. Ve'av im eino nikar la'anashim she'en mistaklin kol kach b'nashim ad shiyakiru. And even if most men wouldn't be able to tell the difference, mikol makom le'nashim v'adai nikar beruba deruba. But most of the time, women could generally tell the difference. 98% of the time, women can tell the difference if it is a sheitel or not. V'ulai gam kula nikaros. Maybe all of them, says Reb Moshe. V'lachein b'shvil mashit is damin l'famim rechokos shelo nikar lo asru. Because you have once in a while, far away, not common case where it wouldn't be nikar, a woman has this sheitel that you really can't tell the difference, so we don't have to worry about that. And therefore, says Reb Moshe, he says, a riot to this, that you're allowed to shave. A man is allowed to shave. Mortalis Galeacha Zakar Bibisparayim Kain Tar, but the Lost Shabara Sai, and people are going to think they used a razor. No! It says Rof Pa'amim, people know that it is not done, and therefore he goes into Maris Ayin a little bit, fine. And then he quotes, V'yesh Otam Gadol, V'mashalo Asru B'Pei Anachris. And there's another reason. Dekiva Diyadua, Lakol, Sheish Lobash Pei Anachris, Shetia Nidbeis Kisairis Isha Atzma, In Lesar. Everybody knows that this is what people do following the halacha. Deminatara Yachshadimechi Tesi, Yachshadu Aro and Meirachok. Veilashim is taklin kol kach menashim zaseir aniru misaro se isha atzma kivishim achzekas lo isha ksheira v'yodet shebekara vaday makibur chitzon seir aromos sebekara mistaklin. So Rav Moshe says the faraway people you don't have to worry about, the close people you know. V'ein lomar, and don't say, oh well, most people in this country, says Rav Moshe, rachmana litzlan, don't cover their hair. Many women don't cover their hair at all, rachmana litzlan. Right, so the says Rav Moshe, you know, maybe she's part of the Rov. The Ein Lomar Shem Medina Seidu Zu. And when did Rav Moshe write this? 1962 is this tshuva. Baruch Hashem, there are many women that do cover their hair more and more. But he says the answer to the Seidu Zu Bizman Azeh Shen is parts of Sherov Nashem Avin Seidu Arabim Ein Machasas Roshan. He doesn't quote it, but like the Aruch HaShulchan says even 100 years ago. Shelachein Yomru Gama Leah Shime Aprutzos Bazeh. Do we have to be worried about that? No. We don't say that, and if a woman is Isha Ksheira, we're not Choshesh that people are going to think Maris Ayin about her of doing something wrong. And he continues. And therefore he says, Ladina, this is what's important for us. The husband has no right to say that the woman cannot wear a sheitel. That even if he wants to be Machmir, this is her din. This is called her din. Even though, yeah, okay, my family. But the sheitel is her din, and therefore she gets to choose. Eino yachol lahatol chumrosa v'aleha shezeo rak din shela. V'kivin she yosa kedin, shu karov ha-poskim, v'gam nirak v'kimosam, since she's acting properly like rov ha-poskim, eino yachol lahachmer aleha, af im lo techasa klal ha-pei anachras. Even if she doesn't wear a double cover, she just wears the sheitel. No problem, says her Moshe. V'kotchik it, surely she wants to wear something on top of the sheitel. For sure there's no problem, but even if not that. V'ikvot haraso hu, and he quotes the last line, and if you, who are asking the question, are from those people who shave, and you're not worried about Maris Ayin, so don't tell me Maris Ayin about your wife. That's Rav Moshe, again, in terms of an exception to the rule. Usually, it all goes by the husband, but here, it doesn't. One final tshuva, and then we'll get into today's Gemara, which, as you see, is not such a long adaf, so we have time to talk about some other things as well. Rav Moshe discusses in our Chaim Chelek Dalet, Simin Kuf Aleph, Os Beis. Isha, talking about a woman who's going to eat a little bit on Shabbos morning. Does a woman have to make Kiddush before she eats on Shabbos morning? So we know usually the Chiv of Kiddush kicks in after Shachris. So men daven Shachris, they can have a cup of coffee or something beforehand in the morning, and they don't have to make Kiddush, because the Chiv only kicks it afterwards, and after they daven, they have to make Kiddush. But let's say a woman wants to eat. So if a woman is going to daven, so then fine, the Chiv Kiddush doesn't kick in. But what if a woman is in a state where she's not going to daven full Shachris? What if she's home with a couple of kids, and she doesn't have a second, and she's not going to be able to daven? Or her custom is like that Magen Avram, which we're not going to get into the pros and the cons of that Magen Avram right now, in Simit Kufav, but says Rav Moshe, V'inyin nashim, shetzrichos lechol kodem atfila, v'gam yish nashim shemekilos ba'achila, kodem atfila, la'achar sh'amru eza bakasha. And someone in their mekel, after they say a certain bakasha of the Magen Avram, right, they say moda'an and they say a little tfila, but according to the Magen Avram, that's davening. So maybe they have a chiyuv of kiddush now, if that's their davening. Sherov Nashim Monogulus Palabitzvidus, says the Magen Avraham, said the soap calls of Ashabidaraisa Sagi Bechol Bakasha Shehi. Umosif Sheaf Shashkav Hachamim Lochivim Yoser. The Mishnah Berurah does say they're Chai, the Dabin Shakras and Mincha, without getting into the details of Tfila now, but says Rav Moshe, Yatama Alashan Zeh, Dim Chagavim Chivim Tfilas Yurches Kanashim, Ech Shayach Sherov Nashim Yina Gulabra, Chiv Durabanan. Right, I don't understand the Lush of the Magen Avraham. If they have to daven, what do you mean that most women don't do it? The pshat of those early sources, the Magen Avraham, is that Chazal never obligated them. Again, not saying that that's what one should do, but it's just saying that this is what they did. So what's the halacha of Kiddush? Says Rav Moshe, they do not have to make Kiddush. Al kapanim elusha rashos lechol kodem atfila im tzrichot v'shabas v'yadav asos kiddush. Do they have to? Says Reb Moshe, tremendous kiddush. But says Reb Moshe, it fits into his other tshuva. La'aniyas daiti be'ishto eina tzricha l'kaddish. A married woman does not have to make kiddush. Why? Taharehi mishubedes labayla lechol davke imo. A woman not only follows the customs of her husband, has a chiyuv to eat with her husband. V'kivet shabayla asur lechol kodem atfila, and since the husband can't eat yet, v'ef shalo lechol asuuda kodem atfila, and he can't eat the meal before he davids, ein zesman achila gamla. If he is not in the time where he has a chiyuv of kiddush yet, really, he's still davening, she doesn't have a chiyuv of kiddush yet. There's a shibud. A shibud that the wife has to eat with the husband. You might see it works the other way too. The husband has a chiyuv to eat with the wife. And then he says, "Avo mikomakom kishekfar hispalo bayla for ashar lekadish v'lechol." But what if the husband already davened? The husband finished davening, and now she wants to eat. But she wants to wait. What if her husband's not home? What if her husband has a chavrusa after davening? He davened early. But if the husband already finished davening, now he has a chiyuv of kiddush, wherever he is, so she also has a chiyuv of kiddush. Before, if her husband's not there. What if she davened earlier? She said whatever she davened earlier, the husband didn't daven yet. You have a tremendous cooler, Reb Moshe says. Even if she davened already, earlier, if her husband doesn't have the chiyuv of kiddush yet, she's allowed to eat before kiddush. I don't know if I'm going to go that far though, even though that makes sense. If she already davened, I can say a low plug. If you davened, you have a chiyuv of kiddush. If you didn't daven, so then, says Reb Moshe, you can go by the husband. But then he says, according to this whole svara, daughters, single girls, they would have to make a bracha. They would have to make kiddush, as he quotes, look in the Bir Halacha. Even though the parents want the children to eat with them, it's not the same type of shibud that the wife and the husband have to each other. Baruch Hashem, that gets us expanding on the Chashuk Yechemed, having to do with husbands and wives and their relationships, relating to the nether that the woman makes that she's ever going to eat kibrux, and the hafara that the father was told to do and not to do, and finally that he did. Okay, let us continue now. Devei Rebbe Yishmael Tana. So now this is a second approach. A second makar. How do we know that the husband and the father, teamwork, are able to be made for the neder of an arusa? Again, it's not mafurish in the Torah, in Matos, so let's see where it says it. So Devei Rebbe Yishmael Tana. Bein ish leishto, bein av labito. The sum up pasuk there at the end of the section about nedarim, it says these are the nedarim and issues between husband and wife, between father and daughter. So we compare right near. They have a hekesh, the father and the husband right next to each other. Mikal and ara marasa sheavia ubaila mefir nedareha. Right, we have a little of both in the pasuk, and therefore they are compared. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. On this pasuk, talking about the power of a man and a woman, he says, naturally, a man is built and created more independently than a female. Only, he says, a man makes a neder, there's no way out. He's got a neder, he's got to figure out a way to get rid of it. He can go to a chacham, but there's no automatic built-in dependencies. A man creates his position in life independently, and if he binds himself with a veil that cannot be absolved, he introduces into his life a new element that is not ordinarily applicable. And it's usur. Not so for a woman, says Rav Hirsch. The moral greatness of the woman's calling requires that she enter a position of life created by another. She has that ability. The woman does not build for herself her own home. She enters the home provided by the man, and she manages it, brings happiness to the home, and nurturing everything inside the home in the spirit of sanctity and orientation towards Hashem. The man creates the home, but it's the woman's job to make the home flourish and take the next step. I saw recently, even it's literal and figuratively. The man provides the seed, and then the woman is the one who helps the seed grow and helps the seed blossom and take it to the next level. So that's physically and obviously anatomically, but also in life. In life, the man sometimes can provide, but it's the woman, the Akaris Abayis, who creates the entire environment for the children. The woman, even more than the man, must avoid the constraints of extraordinary guidelines in her life. So if she has an Adarim, that will negatively affect her ability to create, just like Zman Grumis. That's what the Abu Dram says. She cannot be bound by time-bound mitzvos, because she has a higher calling. She has to be with the kids, and she has to be with the family. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu patered her, and that's why here too, the Torah gives powers to pater the Nedarim. They are likely to be an impediment to her in the fulfillment of her calling. From this standpoint, we understand why you have this concept. So that's Rav Hirsch right here, but that's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael's din of the hekesh between the husband and the wife, and the husband and the father. Ula tana devei Rabbi Yishmael, im hayosi alish by avilei. So according to this approach, what does he do with the first pasuk on yesterday's daf? Hayotia, we said, was mashma havaya kiddushin. What does he do with that pasuk? Mukim le'idav to Rava. He used it for the other din of Rava. What's that? The Ran quotes from the Gemara in a couple of daf from now, that if a father has rights during erusin, and then what happens if the husband dies or divorces during erusin, and then she is misareses again to another man, the father again has rights in that erusin as well. Kiddushei shnia. That's what the double lashon of hayo sihiel ish tells me about the father's rights as well. Virava. And Rava, hi, the Tani Divei, Rabbi Yishmael, my Avile. What is Rava, the earlier Deya, do with this pasuk? Abedish Lishto Ben Avlavito, my Avile, mi Boyle, Lomar, Shaval, me for Nadarim, Shabin Olavino. He uses it to, teach me that the husband only has rights to be Mefer Nadarim that affect the relationship. Nadarim, Shabino, Livino. That is the idea. Look at the second medium line in the Ran. The other type of neder, right, there are two types of neder that he can be made for. The other type is beferish. When it says between man and woman, that teaches me for nedarim shebeino leveino. What are those? We'll have to see. And then this is where the Ran says what we referred to yesterday. The Ran on the fifth medium line. No, just like the husband has that limitation, Hachanami Av Eino Mefer Benidrebito El Elu Bovad. So to the father also is subject to the limitations of Dvarim Shebeino Leveino and Dvarim Sheishbehem Inui Nefesh. The Rambam, as we saw, argues on this. The Rambam says, Beferish, the father can be made for all Nadarim. All Nadarim. The Migdal Oz talks about this Rambam, what the pros are, what the cons are. He even quotes a letter of the Rambam to the Chachmi Lunel. A couple of times throughout the commentary of Mishnah Torah, the Nosek Kalim called letters that the Rambam wrote. So if you look in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, in Hilchas Adarim, on the Rambam that says that the father has expansive power to be made for all Nadarim, says the Rambam, he quotes the Matzasi L'Chachmi Lunel Shasha'aluhu Alzeh. And they said, Heirei Neinu, light us up, right? The Sifri and the Yerushalmi seem to support the Ran. The Sifri says, Beferish, Makif Av Labal. You compare, just like the husband is limited, so do the father is limited. Says the Rambam, you're right, it's a good question. Amar disha dvar me luvade le Reb Shimim heim, levado shestam Sifri Rebbe Shimon. The Sifri definitely holds that way, says the Rambam. But that's Rebbe Shimon's opinion. The elu hayu dvaram elu halacha vadai, but says the Rambam, if this was the halacha, that it would apply to the father also, lo havi shasik gemara minayhu. The Gemara wouldn't have been quiet about it. Shalot timsa, and this is the Rambam talking, shalot timsa la olam oso hahekish. But you don't find the hekish comparing in this regard, father and husband, but echad mishnei atamudim. It's nowhere in Chaz Bavli Yerushalmi. That's the Rambam for you. The lo bitosefta, right? Not in the Tosefta. Lo nomar bigamara. You find another context, and you find our Gemara that says it by the husband. You don't have it by the father. So says the Rambam. That is why, you're right, the Sifri says that, but I don't think we paskin that way. I think the fact that our Gemara is silent means that we don't paskin that way. The Meiri does say here, the Meiri right in our daf, says, even according to the Rambam, who says it's expanded, once there's a situation of Erusin, it kind of gets a little sticky. Because in a time of Erusin, so the husband only has power over certain types of Nadarim, and the father, but you need Hafara for both of them. So the Meiri says, even the Rambam would agree, that by Nara Homo Rasa, the father's koach is limited to what the Baal can be made for, right? Or else it would get, it would not be parallel, right? So that's the, all of a sudden he has full power, and then during Erusin, he does not. That's the Meiri right here. He says, V'dvarim she'beino leveino, v'tomar, v'mkei, bein av levito, neima nami, dafka b'nijedi nefesh, v'chulu. He quotes, that's what Roma Farshim say, but that's not what the Rambam says, and it's against the Yerushalmi, it's against the Sifri. And let me just find you the line. Vikfar Tamuel Devrayim Chachmi Galilos, he quotes the Chachmi Lunel, and then he quotes that the, not gonna read it, but he quotes that the, Rambam would have to admit that it's limited even when the husband, comes into the picture. Good. Let's, continue. There is another machlokas in the tour. The tour quotes a machlokas. What happens if after the Erusin takes place, then there's death and divorce? So now she goes back, as the halacha was, we're going to have it soon, nisrokna. She is emptied out and goes back to the father's rishus. So now would the Rambam say that his entire power returns? Or it's limited? Once it's limited, it's always limited. So that depends how you look at the halacha of nisrokna. Is it really a return to the previous state or not? That's the shaila that the Achronim deal with, the Granat and others discuss how you look at the content of Nisrokna and going back. That is the difference. Now remember we said yesterday the Mechayiv of the allowance of a father and a husband might be different. That's why the father might have more elastic power. The father is because of Rishus. She is in his Rishus, while the husband just might be Zechuyos of a husband in a wife, and that's why it would be limited. That Torah, if you want to look it up, is in Simin Reish Lamed Aleph. In the name of Rabbi Yechiel, right? He quotes that maybe he does not go back to full power. But this was Rabbi Yishmael and Devei Rabbi Yishmael. We haven't spoken about this in a long time, so just to mention, Rabbi Yishmael, the Charif thought of Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz. Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz says, and then we'll get into a major question that comes up over the next couple of daf. Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz once was meeting his future father-in-law, and they went to meet in a certain tavern between towns, and the father-in-law says, you know, tell me a vart. So he says, give me a sefer. And the only sefer they had in this inn in between towns was a sitter. So he's like, okay, he takes a sitter. He opens up to Rabbi Shmuel Omer, and he says to his future father-in-law, three kashas. Number one, how could there be a Rabbi Yishmael? Yishmael? It's terrible. Yishmael? How could anybody name their child Yishmael? Number one. Number two, question. Usually when you have a machlokas, you have one opinion, and then you have the second opinion, Rabbi Meir Omer, as follows. That's when there's a machlokas. If there's just a statement being made, usually the verb is first. Amar Rabbi Meir. Amar this. So here, Rabbi Shmuel starts the paragraph. So it should be Amar Rabbi Shmuel, not Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Question two. Question three, in Rabbi Shmuel, you have Prat Uklau, Klau Uprat, some of these Klau Prat Uklau. Don't you say, Emuktu Mu'uchar Batorah? So how do you know any of those Klal uprats are really true? Maybe they're out of order. So says the Rabbi Yonatan and Eibishitz, the answer is with one more question. Rashi tells us at the end of Chayisara that Chazal know that Yishmael did tshuva at the end of his life. Why? Because it says when they bury their father, it says Yitzchak and Yishmael bury their father. Yishmael was older. But it says Yitzchak and Yishmael. It must be that Yishmael let Yitzchak go first. Mikan she Yishmael asa tshuva. I ain't muktam u'uchar. How can Chazal know that? The answer is, the Gemara says in the first parak in Pesachim, that be'inyan echad, there is muktu muhar. It is written in chronological order. What, you're going to say every pasuk, vayadaber shalom v'shel leimar? It should be leimar vayadaber? No! In one inyan, you say there is muktu muhar. It's just in larger stories. Putting different stories together, you might say that it's not written in chronological order. But in one inyan, you do. So that's how you know that Yishmael did shuva. See, Yishmael did shuva, that's how there could be a Rebbe Yishmael. Because he did shuva. And Klal Uprat is one inyan. And that's why you say, those principles based on Yesh Muktam U'uchar within one inyan. So now read the paragraph. Rebbe Yishmael, the fact that there is a Rebbe Yishmael. And why the Rebbe Yishmael? Because we know the tshuva, because Ein Muktam U'uchar doesn't apply within one inyan. Rebbe Yishmael Omer, the fact that there's a Rebbe Yishmael, teaches us, Omer, allows us to say, Klalu Prat Pratu Klal, V'chulu, all of those principles. That was Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, his harifus, to his future father-in-law, and duly impressed he was. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, weiter. Ibai Lahu. Baal Megiz Gaiz O Miklash Kolish. When a husband, we're talking about in the time of Erison, husband and father have a team. When a husband is Mefer, before the father is Mefer, the husband is Mefer, did he Megiz Gaiz? What does that mean? Did he totally cut off half and there's only half of the nether left? Megas guys, he chops off half of the nether. He accomplished something very strong. Oh, Miklash Kalish, what do we say? No. He didn't cut anything off. He just weakened the entire nether, but it totally still exists. He weakened the entire nether. He did not cut anything off. That's what the Ron says. The question could have been asked about the Baal too. The husband too. The question was asked about one, but he could have been asking about the both. Look at the second wide line of the run. Kishamefer chelko, megiz gaiz klomar, shechote chatzi haneder legamre. Half the nether is totally cut off. Umevatlo, v'chatzio ha'acher nishar chazake batchila. The other half is very strong, as it was, velo iklash leklal, and it wasn't affected at all. O miklash kolish, or everything was affected, it became weak, but nothing was removed. You don't say that half of it is gone and half it still stays there. The Ron says that both of them are, the Shaila is about both of them equally. The Shita B'Kubetzes here says, based on Tamar's daf, that maybe the suffix is only about one and not about the other, and the Achronim, Lamaskana, go in opposite directions, right? This is the Yesod that we didn't talk about much yet, but there's a Ritva. The Ritva on the daf here discusses who is the Iker and who is the Tafel, or is there no Iker and Tafel? The Ritva's line, I'll just read you his line, in this Shaila, the Ritva's Lashon is that in Erisin, the father is still Ikar. V'tayma de Milsa, the Ritva says it beferish, the Mishum de Mino Erisin ha'av Ikar v'habal tafel. The father is still Ikar, the Baal is tafel. Toha Talmuda Taima d'afaras d'darim, because after all, what's the reason of afaras d'darim, as we said yesterday, is kolon oderis al das bailihin oderis. What does that mean? The husband's only included because of an umdina, not because halachically there should be a natural connection. And therefore, min ha'erisin, she'ein liba gaspo, einon oderis lagamri al daito shal oris. Ela shatora asato snifim la'av. The Torah gave him some allowance because she is in his rishus somewhat by Erisin, but the Iker is still the father. That is the Ritva. If you look in the back of Mosad Rav Kook Ritva in Siman Yud Zayin, he has eight columns on this issue about who is the Iker, what did the other Rishonim say, what did Gemara say about this. The Yerushalmi seems to be like the Ritva. He quotes different deos here, but that is an important topic. Is it equal? And different Gemaras give off different impressions. But that is the Ritva right here, but that goes to this question as well. The Gemara asks about the Baal, but the question is it across the board for everybody, the same type of Shiloh or not? So let's see what the Gemara says. Hey, Chakami Boyla, what's the Shiloh? What's the Nafkamina? Kigon. The Nadra Mitrain Zason. She woman makes a neder that she's not going to eat two olive sizes of something, or two olives. Vishama Aris Mefer law. And the Aris is Mefer. Right, so you see it just switched. The Aris is Mefer. Vachaltun, and if she was Mefer, then she eats them. The Rod says she ate both of them. Not only one of them, because then it would be Asra Safik, then it would be maybe she didn't eat the one that was still in the nether. So she ate both of them. E Amridan Megas Gaiz. So if you say that it's totally cut, that he cuts off one olive, and there's another olive left there, so Lakye, that he's gonna get Malchus. She's gonna get Malchus, because she violated the nether. E Amridan Miklash Kalish, but if you say the whole thing is weaker, Isur ba'almu. So the whole thing has gone down a notch. It's an Isur ba'almu, but there's no Malchus. So my, what do you say in this case? The Rania discusses why is it that the neder had to be about a two kezais and dafka, and she had to violate with a kezias. We know from elsewhere that konamos are usser even bekalshehu. The Ran says umakshu hacha, about 8 lines up from the bottom. Umakshu hacha lomeli train zeis and denakat. To beperk shvuas tayim basra, it says in shvuas, the bekalshehu bekonamos loket. Again, malchus, this isn't a regular isser achila. You're comparing it to a karban, so even without a kezias, you would get malchus. And he quotes three different answers, obviously bothered by this question. He says, number one, maybe this is according to the other opinion, to the sheet that says konamos, only get malchus with a kezias, okay? Number two, maybe this is talking about a shvua, not talking about a neder, u'bishvua b'pachos b'kashir leka malchus, by a shvua. And number three, maybe loke here means karban. You're right, you would get malchus even less. But loke, to cover haka, loke b'karban kamar le'inyin me'ila. Regarding me'ila, it's referred to, that's what the loke is, l'kulei alma leka karban b'pachos b'kashir. Regarding the karban, you need a kezias, says the Ran, and that's why this is, that's why it says it here. And that itself, the Gilei Nashas is not so convinced of that, regarding if it's a karban and it's me'ila, then you don't go by kezayis, you go by shavapruta, asked the Gilei Nashas. And he doesn't answer it. Kashli linyan karban, shiro bepruta, kedin me'ila. Remember, me'ila is like stealing from the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, you go by pruta, not by kezayis, not an isra achila. Volatalia klal be kezayis. Vitzarech Ian, that's the Shaila, the Ar Sameach, if you want to look at it, in Hilchos Me'ila, tries to deal with this problem. But that's the Ran about the Isser of Konamos and the Kezias. Now let's back to our question though. So the Gemara says, this is the Shaila Mai, what do we say? What does the Baal / Ariz accomplish when they each are made for the Neder before the other one is made for the Neder? So we have a Brisa that goes from Amud Aleph here to Amud Aleph on Tamar's Daf. Let's see it, and we'll see by the end, we'll see it's a machlokes, tanoim, what the halacha is. So Tashma, so let's see, says the Tosefta. E masai amru meis habal nisrok nerishas la'av. When do we say the halacha that we just alluded to before? If there's a situation of erisin, and then the husband dies, then the rishas goes back to the father exclusively. When do we say that? Bizman shaloshama habal kodab shiyamos. If the husband did not hear about the nether before he died, oshashama v'shasla, or he heard about it and he didn't say anything. Umeisbo bayom, the vachia did, and then he died. Oshashama v'hafer umeisbo bayom, or he was also made for it, and then he died that day. In all those cases, then it goes back to the father. Zuisha shaninu meisabal nisrokna rishus la'av. That's when it goes back to the father, and that's the discussion that we just had in the Achronim. Does that mean that if the father's power was limited to certain types of nedarim, would the Rambam say that it expands back to what it was beforehand? After the father dies, after the husband dies, that's a shiloh. Aval continues the Tosefta, im shama v'kiyim, if the husband heard about it and it was mekayim it before he died, osha shama v'shasak u'meis b'yom shala acharav, or even if he heard about it but he was shasak, which we said accomplishes the same thing basically, in yachol hafer, that's case number one in the Tosefta, that the father cannot be made for it exclusively at that stage, because you don't say nisrokna in that case. Number one. Number two, case. Shama avia v'hefer la. If her father heard about it, the father was made for it. V'lo hispik ba'al ishma wa'ach ha'meis ha'av. And then the father dies. The father heard about it, and then before the husband heard about it, the father dies. Zui sheshaninu meis ha'av lo nisrok n'rishus la'bal. In that case, we don't say the rishus goes back to the ba'al. We don't say, the Ran explains, well, the father did his part, so that was just up to the husband doing his part. So we don't say that. Look in the last word on the first wide line of the Ran. V'chihechi dashmina bereish. Or, you know, look, the last word on the skinny lines. V'sakada dechamina. T'yahi purtas sagile bafar sabal. There's only a little bit left. The father got rid of everything he got rid of. So now the husband just has to do his piece. Kamash v'lam, we don't say that. The afagav, the high nidra, iklish le'tubala hoop, even though it's much weaker now, because the father was mefer, lehupra denami, the mishtaya be'lo matzibal mefer, the husband cannot just get rid of the little bit that's left. That's what the halacha is. That's category number two. Category number three, Shama Baila Behafer La. The husband hears about it and was Mayfair. Velo Hispika Av Lishmoa Acha Mesabal. The opposite type of case. The husband hears about it, was Mayfair, and then the father does not hear about it until after the husband dies. Zuisha Shaninu Mesabal Nisopra Rishislav. It goes back. It seems like the father has a more natural Rishus over in this situation. So if the husband dies, it can go back to the father. If the father dies, it cannot go back to the husband. This is maybe where the Ritva got it from. The Ritva, by the way, is on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, the Ritva that I read before, the beginning of the Perek. So the Ritva says that the husband is just a secondary. He's a tafel to the power of the father. And the Ran goes through in this piece in the Ran, that studim lakan lakan, if it's easier for the Baal to be mefer or not, if it is before the father heard about it or after the father heard about it. So he goes through studim lakan lakan. Category number four, shama by love a hefer law. The husband hears about it, he's mefer. Velo hispika av lishmo achemes. The husband hears about it, is mefer, and then the father dies. Ein abal yachal hafer. So then the father was totally out of the picture. Still the Baal cannot be mefer. What do you mean? His hafara does not work. Sheina Baal Mefer, Allah Beshutfis, because the Baal needs Shutfis because she made a nether. Or there was a state at least when she was Beshutfis, there was a state of Erisin. And you might say, like the Ritva said, the Iker existed, so if the Iker didn't work, so then she's stuck. He cannot get rid of that nether, even if he would want to. That was category number four. Finally, fifth category, category number five, Shama. Aviyah vehefer la, the father hears about it, her father hears about it, and is mefer. Velo hispik habal lishmoa ad shemes, and then the husband dies. Chozer ha'av u'mefer chelko shabal. Then the father, in every case here, the father has more power than the husband. The father could go and be mefer, the chelik of the baal. What does that mean? It means the rest of it. Say he was mefer his own, you might say, well, he doesn't have to do anything. Right? What does this mean? He has to be mefer his chelik. Right? Says the Ran on top. Haydiktani chozer lo sheyachzor lahafer mashehefer kfar, that a chelko shalav, he doesn't have to do that again. Ela lahachi tani chozer, it means shekfar hefer chelko viachshav chozer mefer chelko shogabal ubahachi sagi v'yitzorach sheyachzor yafer chelko atzmo. He should just be mefer the other half. The other half. That's what the Brisa says. Ama Rebbe Nasan, hein hein divrei Beis Shammai. This is what Beis Shammai says. That he should be mefer, that he can be mefer the other half. The father was mefer, the husband dies, and the father can do the other half. Beis Hillel omer mein yachal hafer, but Beis Hillel would say, he cannot be mefer, because he is not, the husband is not strong enough. His chelik that's left is not strong enough to be morish it to the father. Meaning, it's ironic. If the father would not have been mefer at all, so then it is strong enough for both, and if the Baal dies, he would be able to send it to the father to be mefer. But now that the father was mefer it, so now the whole thing becomes weaker, and it's not strong enough. It's not an asset, so to speak, or it's not tangible, but it's not even a schus that's strong enough for the Baal to be morish to the father. So Shmami, what do you see from this machlokes? Le Beis Shammai Megas guy is Beis Shammai. When the father is mefer, he cuts it. His half is totally removed. The other half is totally still there. So it's strong enough for the husband to be mefer and send it and be morish to the father. Lebeis Hillel, Miklash Kalas. But because Beis Hillel, the whole thing got weaker. And because the whole thing is weaker, it's not strong enough to send for the husband to send to the father. So Shmami no. So we know that it is a machlokes tanoim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Right? That is, the maskana before we go into the next sha'ila of Rava. The Berach HaShmuel discusses here in Simen Chavtes whether you have to have kavana. Does hafara need kavana? It sounds like that way from this line of the Gemara. He already did his chelik, and so now he has to be mefer chelko shabal. What do you mean mefer chelko shabal? Just he was mefer. He was mefer. It's not like there's a, is there a specific chelik? So it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like he has to have kavana here, to be mefer the proper chelik. This was all, the first lumdish question. Again, this is very graphic lumdis in the Gemara. Most of the time you have to dig in the Rishonim to get to lumdis, but here, Megas, Gaias, Miklash, Kalish, right, is going to the root of the relationship between the father and the husband in terms of caring for and having the reshus of the wife/daughter. But it seems clear like what the Ritva says, there's some, it's more of a natural, it might not be stronger, it might just be different. There's more of a natural connection between the father and the daughter, leaving open the fact that the father is more powerful in this regard, and therefore the concept of Nizrokna only applies in that direction, from the husband to the father, and not from the father to the husband. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Hashem, we will continue. The next one will be put up from the last cycle, and we'll continue the next time. Okay, we'll stop here.